Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Tomorrow, the show is live, a field trip Friday from Craft House in Reston. We will see you out there. We'll get you ready for week 14 and Commanders Vikings. Come have a drink, eat some food, listen to some football banter, and enjoy some fellowship.
We are exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
I'm always looking for smart football content that scratches the itch for me on a lot of like X's and O's and analytics and deep dive stuff, but that makes me smarter. And Robert Mays is one of the guys in the industry that does that. Host of the Athletics, a football show, joins us now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. So, Robert, I actually want to start in your backyard there with the Bears. I know you grew up a Bears fan, but because of that, you're probably even more skeptical than the average person who covers the league. Are you buying them yet as a legitimate threat to go deep in the NFC playoffs?
No, not yet. I think that there are too many inconsistencies still on offense, specifically with the passing game. You know, the offense, the quarterback, and a lot of the primary skill position players, these are young players. These are young players still in year one of a new system. And I think there have been impressive gains from that group. I think they've shown an ability to be explosive, but I just don't think they're consistent enough right now. And you combine that with the struggles they've had on defense this year. You know, they've gotten healthier in the secondary over the last couple of weeks. They were missed Jalen Johnson for most of the season. They missed Kyler Gordon for most of the season. So I think they should be better on that side of the ball than they've been. But I still feel like the front seven still has a little bit of a ways to go. I think there's a lot to be encouraged about. There's a lot to be excited about. I still think that some of the gaps need to be filled in before they're a serious playoff team.
What do you think the Bear, and I'm asking you to speak for an entire fan base, Robert, which of course is very fair, but this is their second winning season since 2012. And this is very relatable to us here in Washington, where last year there was a lot of, this is better than it's been. It doesn't have to be all done this year, right? We're better than we ever thought we'd be. This is a lot of fun. We're probably not ready for primetime yet, and there's some content there. Just kind of wonder, temperature check-wise, how much of a pulse do you think that is?
Yeah, I think there's a push and the pull anytime something like this happens. I think a lot of Bears fans want to believe that this is a team that's right there, that's ready. And I just don't think that's the case. And I think the biggest difference would be the Bears have done a lot of their spending in a way that Washington had not and has not. You know, Washington has a lot of financial flexibility over the next couple of years. And so I wonder how aggressive the Bears might be this offseason if they fall a little bit short and they see some of those issues that still remain. But I think that in a moment like this, it's important not to get too far ahead of yourself. I think making sure you're staying the course, you're playing and building on the timeline that you should be, that's really important here. And sometimes it's hard to accept something for what it is when you think that you're closer than you are. And I would encourage and urge both Bears fans and people in the organization to have a realistic understanding of exactly what you are right now. That is a thing to be excited about, but I think it's still important to understand how far you have to go in some of these areas.
Robert Mays of The Athletic. If you have an MVP vote, you got to vote today. Matt Stafford or Drake May, who are you voting for?
I think Drake May. I think that what he's doing, I really like what Josh McDaniels has done this year. I think Josh McDaniels has done a great job, but I still feel like the setup that Matthew Stafford has in Los Angeles with Sean McVay, with Davante Adams, with Puka Nacua, with just a beautifully constructed offense. I think that he has more to lean on there than Drake May does in New England. Like, I watch Drake May right now, and there's just like no ambiguity about it. He's already one of the best players in the NFL. You watch what he's doing from a pocket management perspective, the lack of mistakes, the downfield accuracy, the playmaking. It's hard to watch him right now and have gripes about like where he still needs to be better as a player. And so I just think on so many different levels, he has been asked to do so much with a little bit less around him than a lot of these other quarterbacks have. You combine that with the success, and I know their schedule hasn't been great, but I still feel like what he's been able to do down to down with his supporting cast, I do think that right now he's been the most important player to a team's success in the NFL this year.
Robert Mays with us here on G&D. Robert is a smart football gentleman. Where are you at on this under center versus shotgun versus pistol kind of conversation that's now kind of taking the league by storm, where there's a pretty big correlation if you're under center running a lot of play action with how good your offense is?
Yeah, it's. I knew we'd get here. I think that it depends on the situation, and I think that Washington specifically is in a unique spot where when their quarterback is healthy, he is such a dynamic runner that you can flip the math, and it's worth being in the shotgun more than a typical NFL team would be. That being said, I still think even teams that have mobile quarterbacks that can flip the math in the run game have seen the benefits of this over the last couple of years. You know, you think about Baltimore kind of leaning into more of an under center run game last season when things were really humming for them. I do think it's important just to add more layers to the offense. And we've seen this. Like, if you have an under center run game that you can use play action off, and now we've seen these teams doing a lot more straight dropbacks from under center with no play action to kind of add one more layer of deception and creativity to this whole thing. So I'm not necessarily sure every offense has to lean full scale into it. If you're a team like Washington with the quarterback that you have, the personnel you have, and the offensive staff that you have, I still think a majority of your DNA can be rooted in what they're trying to do. But I do think that being able to tap into it at least every once in a while, we've seen the benefits of that enough that it might be worth exploring for a team like that this offseason.
So, Robert, I'm 46, and I'm old enough to remember when Joe Gibbs was here the first time, he didn't like the shotgun, and there was this debate between the shotgun and under center. Like, to me, this is just another cycle in the NFL. What's old is new again. People have rediscovered the tight end spot a few years ago as if it's this sort of magical, defensive kryptonite. And to me, this is all about kind of the next adjustment that's happening. We're in a moment right now, though, I think, where that's what's working, and I don't know if that's a guarantee that's going to work in a year or 2 years, et cetera. See the Wildcats, see the read option, see, you know, a zone read, this, that, and the other. Just kind of give me your reaction there.
I think that the under center stuff is more fundamental to the sport than a lot of those things that you're talking about. Like, I feel like we went away from the under center element of things in part because, I mean, this is, we could have talked for an hour about this. I think that there were teams that went away from the under center play action as we got to a place where the league was playing more umbrella coverage, stealing from all those Vic Fangio ideas. And a lot of the bigger crossing routes and kind of intermediate routes that you were trying to find explosives off from the under center play action game were being taken away by how those defenses were constructed. And I think now teams have started to figure out ways to still scheme up explosives in a too high world while playing under center and enjoying the benefits of just being unpredictable, right? I think that ultimately is what it comes down to, is that when you are an under center team, you can do multiple different things from there viably. The shotgun run game for most teams that cannot add the quarterback to the run game just isn't as good. And so you're limiting what you can do in the run game. And then, so that is not tied together with your passing game in the way that it can be when you're under center. And so I think that while a lot of the sport is cyclical, I think that the under center play action stuff is always going to be a part of it, because I do think it's more fundamental to how the game works and how offenses create advantages than some of those other flash in the pan things that you mentioned.
Yeah, I'm with you. Robert Mays of The Athletic on Grant and Danny. You can see why we like having him discuss football. The AFC teams that have underachieved. You had this cool exercise, I remember, start of the year, you've kind of been weaving in and out of. The seat at the table thing you guys were doing, mm-hmm. where, you know, you kind of, for people that haven't heard it, it's like, these are the teams that are the best that we really think have a legitimate chance. And a lot of the teams that I would have imagined, I'd have to go back and look who you guys actually took, but Kansas City's not in the playoffs right now. Buffalo is really flawed at 8-4. Baltimore, they may still win the North. Everything's opened up for them. But they just got walloped by the Bengals, and they're 6-6. And I don't know if they beat the Steelers on Sunday or not. Lamar's not quite right. It's a dumb question, but like, how crazy is the AFC with the haves and the have-nots? And this feels like it was the year where if you're the Bills and you're just normal good, or you're the Ravens and you're normal good, maybe you would have had the gift of not having to deal with the Chiefs or going to Arrowhead, and you might not be good enough to take advantage of it.
Well, I mean, let's take it a step further. The Bills are clearly flawed, and they might be the best team in the AFC still.
That's true.
I mean, that's the current state of the AFC. And if you want to expand it beyond the AFC, and we did a show that today on the Athletic Football Show feed just about, you know, what killed or what has hampered the supposedly elite teams in the NFL coming into the season. Four of the top six teams in terms of Super Bowl odds coming into the year were the Lions, the Eagles, the Ravens, and the Chiefs. How are you feeling about all those teams right now? The Lions might not make the playoffs. The Eagles are probably going to make the playoffs, but who's scared of the current version of the Eagles? There's always variance in a given season between years in the NFL. But most of that, sorry to rub salt in the wound, is teams like last year's Washington team not making the playoffs the year after. We have teams that sneak in and then fall back a little bit, and that's why you have almost 50% new playoff teams every year. That doesn't apply to the mainstay blue blood teams with the best quarterbacks in the NFL, usually. And this year it has. And so I just think that the sheer amount of turnover we've had this year, we dug into it on the show today. I think there are a lot of reasons behind it. I think there are a lot of interesting reasons behind it. I do feel like there are some through lines between some of these teams, but I also think that we've just kind of stumbled into what is a very, very strange year in the NFL.
So to your point on the Lions possibly not making it, we are 2 hours away from Thursday Night Football kicking off, Cowboys in Detroit. If the Lions lose tonight, do you still see a path to the playoffs, like viably? I know they're not eliminated, but is this a they have to win to get in kind of game in your mind?
Feels like it. I mean, if you look at all the numbers, and we have a great playoff predictor and simulator over at The Athletic, and I want to say they have like a 30% chance right now, and it goes down to like 12% if they lose. And so it's a very narrow path to get to the postseason if they end up losing this game. And so I don't think it's dramatic or, you know, hot takey at all to say this is a must-win game if they want to make the postseason.
Who's the best team right now this minute in the NFC?
It's the Rams, I think. I'm laughing just because
off the loss,
year,
right? Exactly.
Like whatever, I'll throw anything against the wall. To me, it's still the Rams. I think that, you know, they lost to the Panthers on Sunday, so I'm sure people are going to be like, oh, they just lost to the Panthers. They had like a 58% offensive success rate against the Panthers on Sunday, which would be the best in the league by far over the course of a given year. So I just think that top to bottom, that is still, in my mind, the most complete team in the NFL and the most complete team in the NFC and the most complete team in the NFL. Their offense this season has been fantastic. I mean, they run the ball at will. It's so tied into what they're doing in the passing game. I think Matthew Stafford has played at an extremely high level. So I still think top to bottom, they are the best team, and I'd still probably put Seattle like one rung down from them next. And I still think Green Bay is dangerous. And I feel like coming into the year, I was kind of dancing around the idea of whether this would be like the nuclear Packers season where it would all come together. And it's been circuitous to get to that point. But I do think we're arriving at a place where they're as dangerous as they have ever been in the Matt LaFleur era for a few different reasons.
Yeah, you and I just...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Consuming your content, I think, like, completely... It wouldn't help if someone said, how do you feel about the Packers? And I was like, the same way as Robert Mays. Like, that's like we're in lockstep, I think, on Green Bay and have been since the start of the year. I think they're laying in the weeds dangerous here. Let me ask you Seattle versus L.A., though, because I would actually say the Seahawks narrowly. Maybe that's the recency effect of the Carolina game. But I also thought the Seahawks outplayed the Rams when they went head-to-head. I know the Rams won the football game, but look at the yards and some of the other things and efficiency in that game. What do you like more about the Rams than the Seahawks? Is it a Stafford-Darnold thing?
Yeah, I honestly think that's like the tiebreaker if you want to come down to it.
I think that
Matthew is, when he's healthy and playing right and they have quality pass protection, he's as dangerous as any quarterback in the league. And I think that is why I give them the edge. Even if Seattle's been winning, I mean, you go back to the Minnesota game last week. Like, I think I'm so impressed by what Sam has done and how he's kind of pulled his career back from the brink. And I'm rooting for him. He's just somebody who's wired the right way and he's an easy guy to cheer on, but he still is somebody that's going to be volatile. You know, you can still, even if it's not four interceptions, there are going to be a couple of throws a game where it's going to be a dicey moment. And so I think right now that's probably what gives the Rams the edge for me.
How did we get here with Baltimore? When Lamar Jackson plays, you know, 12 or 13 games at least, they win 11 or more games every year. And they always have a couple of weird losses, but I just kept kind of going, yeah, come on, they'll figure it out. They're not figuring it out, man.
I think it's a few different things. For me, it starts with the running game and the quality of the offensive line. This is a team last year, and really over the last couple of years, that just kind of run the ball at will. They can do it. No matter who they're playing, no matter what sort of looks you're giving them, they're going to be able to run the ball on their own terms. That is no longer the case. I mean, this is a team that's like near the bottom of the league in rushing success rate. They're still explosive on the ground, but they are not consistently effective. And so you take out that as kind of a steadying force and an engine of the offense, and then you compound that with, I think, a couple different things. I don't think Lamar looks healthy, right? Like, not 100%. I think he's still a little bit banged up. And I think he just has trusted the offense less this year than he did at his best over the last couple seasons. I think part of that might be the offensive line quality just isn't what it was last year. It's a lot of the same guys, but I think the guard play has been considerably worse. I think Ronnie Stanley hasn't quite played at the same level. And so he might just be a little bit less faithful in the pass protection. And so it just feels like he's less settled this year. So I think it's a combination of offensive line quality, running game issues, Lamar being banged up, and Lamar just not being as in control as he was for most of last season. Even when you go back to games like the Lions game, where the final numbers and the production look okay, I just feel like you've been able to send him into a more scattered mode than he was ever in last season. Like, watching Lamar in the pocket last year was crazy. He was just in control and in command, and he just felt like he had the game in the palm of his hand all the time. And even when he was healthy earlier in this season, I feel like they just never felt like that offensively. And now you compound it with his health and some of the structural things going on around him, and you have an offense that just looks so much different than it did last year.
Robert Mays does such a great job. The Athletic Football Show. All right, we'll let you out on this. We talked earlier in our show about coaches that are on the hot seat or warming seats that could get fired. And the way we did it was, are you using a pen or a pencil, basically? Like, this guy's out. You writing it in pen or pencil. Who are you sure joins the two guys that have already been fired that you would use pen right now to say, that guy's not going to be back this year? Is there anyone you would even put on that list?
It's a great question. I don't think there's anybody I'd write down in pen.
Here's who I'll just give you mine while you kind of think about this. I had Raheem Morris and Kevin Stefanski in pen. And I had Jonathan Gannon as well. Now, Morris might be more in pencil, but that's just a tough sell for me. But then the pencil were names like Taylor or Carroll or other guys like that, Mike McDaniel.
I think that the Browns one with Stefanski is interesting. For me, it feels like they kind of made like an organizational commitment to this brass, both the front office and the coaching staff, bringing them back after last year. To me, it'd be strange to have a third-round quarterback and a fifth-round quarterback and say, oh, you didn't win enough games, you're going to be fired. It seemed like last year they made a commitment to this group to kind of see through whatever this rebuild would look like. Maybe it's been too ugly and they're willing to abandon that. I don't know. That part would feel surprising to me. Like, what did you expect? Did you expect them to be better than this year? Like, the offense is in absolute tatters. And so, I don't know. That one, I can understand it happening because owners are impulsive and
exactly.
We know that about the Haskins
and
all that.
I think it's like 6-25 over the last whatever games or something crazy.
I totally understand that. The results have been bad. This is one of those things where, like, bringing him back for this year and then firing him because the team was bad would just be like such a strange set of moves, but I guess I shouldn't be anything.
I
shouldn't
be surprised by anything the Browns do. You are talking about the Haslams.
Yeah, exactly.
Still the Browns, man.
That'd be a crazy thing to do, and I'm going, exactly what I'm saying.
So maybe that's possible. The Raheem Morris thing is just, I mean, this is year two, you know? Not getting where you want, to me this feels, and I don't think they've done a great job by any stretch, but I think the front office deserves more scrutiny than the coaching staff does here, simply because the front office has been at this for much longer.
Right.
Like, this is a team that was built by Terry Fontenot for the last like 5 or so years, and it's just not good enough. And so if you want to fire the coach at the end of all that, I totally understand it, but I don't think the coaching staff is necessarily at the front of what's wrong with that team. And so those are the two at the top. The Gannon thing is interesting. Like, I feel like they haven't shown a lot of progress, and so I can understand being like, why would we bring this group back for another year? I also can understand looking at the quarterback situation and Monty and Jonathan Gannon being able to go to leadership and just being like, hey, we didn't pick the guy. He was here when we got here. Give us a shot with our guy. The defense has made strides. We feel like we're seeing the best from Marv and from Trey McBride since we changed out quarterbacks. Like, I think we deserve one more chance with a new plan at quarterback. I'm always worried about that because I think tying a lame duck regime to any sort of quarterback investment can be problematic, but I could understand the rationale there at the very least as to why those guys might deserve one more chance.
Robert, super quick. We're getting a Giordano's here in D.C. The question is twofold. Why does Chicago Pizza receive so much slander, and why are you a Pequod's over Giordano's guy, according to your running Chicago restaurant list that I keep up with?
Texture. So Giordano's is stuffed pizza.
Yep.
And so they put a layer of dough over everything else. And so I just think that Giordano's and stuffed pizzas in general are kind of one note when it comes to texture. They can be a little bit soft. Like, this idea of pizza as as cake or lasagna, like people make fun of Chicago pizza for, I do think Giordano's is like the closest thing to that criticism. If you look at a lot of other deep dish spots, like Pequod's is a very good example. Pequod's, they put like a layer of cheese in the actual baking dish that they cook the pizza in. And so the cheese crisps around the edge. And so you actually have like a change in texture as you're eating it. And so I think that's why that criticism of Chicago pizza is like, that's just a casserole or whatever, is limited to certain types of deep dish, not to all of them.
I am fired up for the Giordano's.
Yeah, because I'm in. It's like, oh, no, it's the casserole. Good, is what I say.
Give me the pizza
Give
casserole
it to me.
Every time.
Yeah, I don't. You just have to understand it's a different thing. Like,
yeah.
When I'm eating my pizza with a knife and fork, I don't expect it to be like a New York slice from Bleecker Street Pizza or whatever. Like, that's not, they're different right. experiences.
I'm not New Haven, man. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. One is no less viable than the other enjoyable.
Thank you.
Robert, excellent as always. Thank you. Keep up the good work. We'll make sure people check you out over at the Athletic Football Show.
Sounds good, guys.
Thank
Be
you, buddy.
Good. There's Robert Mays. Phenomenal, as always, on Grant and Danny. By the way, did you see 57.2 million people? I'm going to say the number again. 57.2 million people watched the Chiefs and the Cowboys week ago on Thanksgiving.
That number is so unbelievable. I mean, that's what the Super Bowl used to be. Now, of course, the Super Bowl, they're breaking their own record. It's 100 some odd million every year, et cetera. They keep going past it. That was, I remember, the Super Bowl, like in the 90s, was that. That's just unbelievable. It's just a Thursday. It's not any Thursday. It's the Thursday, but still, man, they got something here.
Thursday Night Football tonight. We've been talking about it all day long, the Cowboys and the Lions. All right, tomorrow we will see you out and about in Reston at Kraft House, 2 to 6:30, 4.5 hours to hang with us, and then we're flying out to Minnesota on Saturday. The big question is, will we be seeing Jaden Daniels on the field against the Minnesota Vikings?
The second biggest question is, does Danny have pink eye? To be determined. We're going to figure that out tonight.
By the way, you're already packed up.
Yeah, I got to go. I got an urgent care appointment. We're going to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, but you're off the stream. Like, you just closed your laptop.
I gave the peace outside.
How's Clary feel about
that? He's probably pissed.
I mean, the show's not in.
He's probably mad.
He closed his laptop. It's in his book bag. He just got off the stream before
I gave the deuces sign.
It's unacceptable. I mean,
it is a violation of corporate policy.
It is.
That is a thing that just happened.
You know, it was
like Ryan's stream be damned. I know the show's not over yet, but this computer is going in my book bag.
Am I getting written up?
It's like Dan Quinn taking a knee with a couple timeouts left before halftime.
Yeah, Danny can't complain about Dan Quinn's clock management.
Yeah, anymore. That's true.
I think I can and will.
For Danny and our producers, Ryan, Darius, Toby, I'm Grant saying so long. We'll see you out in Reston tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Thank you for coming.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.